News from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. California's governor has declared a state of emergency in 7 southern counties after 10 wildfires over the weekend scorched 100,000 acres, killing one, injuring more than 17, and resulting in the evacuation of more than 10,000 homes in Malibu and more in parts of San Diego County. The governor of Georgia declared a state of emergency over its worst drought in recorded history. Governor Sonny Perdue asking the White House to issue a federal disaster declaration as well. President Bush is asking Congress for $46 billion more to fight the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he says he wants the money by Christmas. Fighting the combination of the two wars has already cost America $455 billion over the last 5 years. Congressional Democrats are telling the White House not to expect a, quote, rubber stamp in the matter. Turkey says as many as 100,000 of its forces are now in place along its border with northern Iraq. Suspected Kurdish militants killed a dozen Turkish troops, wounding 16. 34 Kurdish rebels were also killed in weekend attacks. Iraq is protesting an unsuccessful U.S. attempt to capture an Iranian militant in Sadr City yesterday. The U.S. military says 49 were killed there. Baghdad says 13 of those were civilians, 69 were wounded. Today in Baghdad, bombs targeting Shiites killed at least 7 and wounded at least 24. Meantime, Iraq's Interior Ministry has released figures indicating that violence in the country has dropped by 70% since the end of June when U.S. forces completed their troop surge. The family of a fallen Navy SEAL was presented with the first Medal of Honor awarded for combat in Afghanistan. Navy Lieutenant Michael Murphy was killed back in 2005. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is now in Paris on the first leg of a European tour to discuss Iran's nuclear enrichment program. Olmert next travels to London. A landmark NASA survey of 24,000 U.S. pilots wiped out from computer records because air safety problems exceeded federal expectations. That study was funded with an $8.5 million federal grant. In Louisiana, 36-year-old Republican Bobby Jindal elected as governor of that state by a landslide vote. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news. That's just ahead.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others. When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier." The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The Space Shuttle Discovery may not lift off for the International Space Station tomorrow because of expected cloudy weather. There's now just a 40% chance that the shuttle will blast off from Cape Canaveral, Florida. More than 1,800 international experts met this weekend in New Orleans to discuss obesity worldwide. More than 65% of Americans are considered to be overweight, more than 1 billion globally. College tuition and fees went up again this year. The average increase at 6.6%. Financial aid did not rise as much, which forces students into more borrowing than ever before. Drug maker Merck posted a 62% surge in quarterly profit, beating Wall Street estimates. Lower costs for the company and higher prices for consumers are credited there. Halliburton posting a 19% surge in quarterly earnings. The company, one of the largest private no-bid contractors in Iraq, its quarterly earnings were posted at $3.93 billion. In the past 2 weeks, the average price for gasoline increasing about 5 cents a gallon. That's according to the Lundberg survey. The highest price at the pump in San Francisco, the lowest in Newark, New Jersey. Light sweet crude trading at $87.56 a barrel, gold at $760 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 45 points at 13,566. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A very happy Monday to you. I'm glad it's Monday, but you know how I am. Every weekend comes along, and at the end of Sunday, I just write down, pulled through. Oh, merciful God. You know, this was one of those no good deed goes unpunished kind of weekends, if you know what I mean. You know, I was away from the microphone Friday. I apologize for my absence. We took some family time out and went over for some Bridge Day events Friday evening that started the festival weekend, if you will. That followed by Bridge Day on Saturday, when something on the order of 100,000 people go out onto the Western Hemisphere's longest, highest steel arch bridge over the beautiful, beautiful New River Gorge here in Fayette County, West Virginia. And we, you know, they sell funnel cakes and corn dogs and Italian, you know, all the general carny fare. It's got to be good for you because I've never seen a fat carny. But anyway, then you go out in the middle and you go to the edge and you watch the base jumpers who leap off the bridge with parachutes and, with any luck at all, sail quietly down to the river and either land on the sandy banks of the New River or splash into it at the same time that the last of the season's whitewater rafters are coming down the gorge. You know, just thinking about looking down over the rail, that gives me that sort of feeling, that roller coaster feeling in my stomach that sort of spreads down the back of your thighs when you're, because, you know, I'm not acrophobic, but even now, no way I could jump. No. Why would anybody want to jump off a perfectly good bridge? I don't know, but there are those who do, and it's fun. And there's a zip line or rappel line or whatever that runs from underneath the bridge down to the road below that people go. The only thing they don't do is bungee. At least, not that I'm aware of. And like I said, you know, about 100,000 people. It's the biggest single day festival in West Virginia, and quite possibly in the larger region. It's a lot of fun. We had a beautiful day for it, just some high scattered clouds. Agnes was sure it was going to pour down rain. I think she was kind of rooting for it to pour down rain. So it was just the boy and me who went, because the girls aren't too crazy about the hike. You got to park, you know, somewhere like in, you know, West Bumchuck, and walk in because traffic's all screwed up and diverted. And you know, golly Moses, thousands and thousands of Harley riders and various and sundry other motorcyclists were there. And it was a blast. It's great to see people come together like that. So as a consequence, okay, here's the downside. You know, I've referred to this country for some time now as the coward nation. And I'm not revising that or retracting that. I'm enhancing that. We are scared absolutely waterboweled in this country. And maybe it's just a reflection on I don't know. I can't see Osama sitting over in Pakistan saying to himself, "Oh, I am going to get those people at that bridge day. I'm going to make them regret ever jumping off that bridge." Because the day that Osama aims at the New River Gorge Bridge is probably the day that he's run out of targets anywhere else. And, of course, this assumes that Osama was behind 9/11. After all, the Building 7 people heckled Bill Maher Friday night on Real Time. You know, what the hell was that? But anyway, as we walked onto the bridge, I think you could have probably robbed any bank in Fayette County, West Virginia, because the entire Fayette County Sheriff's Deputies contingent was on the bridge. Whatever National Guardsmen who aren't in Iraq from West Virginia were on the bridge. And these guys, okay, in blue uniforms, blue shirt, blue bloused out pants, black combat boots, blue ball caps with embroidered badges. You know, we won't even spring for a real badge anymore. We embroider on the shirt. It says FBI police. Okay, I admit it. I'm ignorant. I didn't know there were FBI police. I thought there was the FBI. And they all walked around, you know, wearing sport coats and khakis and had little ears, little wires going up into their ears to prove that the government had not figured out wireless technology yet. And, you know, wristwatch radios and so forth or whatever. FBI police. Overhead, a circling attack helicopter. And off on a place called Long Point, a rock formation over the gorge. Snipers. Snipers. Yeah, I said snipers. Some might get angry at all of this foolishness. I'm embarrassed. I am embarrassed that we have become such a wimped out, lily-livered, yellow-striped nation that we can't even go and eat funnel cakes on a bridge without being scared to daggum death. Because, you see, like I said, it was just the boy and me. And we had a nice time. And it was a long walk. I've gotten my exercise for the year. It was probably every bit of 4 miles to the thing and 4 miles back, and that includes a mile all the way across the bridge and a mile all the way back. So I got six to eight mile walk in on Saturday. Tolerated it quite nicely, thank you. Wasn't sitting there going, cannot breathe. So, yeah, have another cigarette, Bob. No, so I felt pretty good about it. But there's something American in me that resents this terrorization of every public function. I mean, the FBI police? We were absolutely up to our armpits in West Virginia National Guard, West Virginia State Police, Fayette County Sheriff's Deputies. But we got to have the FBI police? Osama, I think I'll do the bridge this year. Oh, wait, they've brought in the FBI police. Now I'm screwed. No way I can do it now. Is it just me? Am I just that cranky and cantankerous here in my 44th year on this little spinning blue-green time machine marble hurtling through the universe? Have I just become cantankerous? Or is it more a matter of... is there something wrong here? Do you get my meaning? When Americans can't go out and enjoy themselves peacefully and soberly in the late October sunshine without having snipers putting crosshairs on individual members of the crowd, you know, just to sort of stay awake or whatever. Are you a little bit put off by that like I am? Are you a little pissed off by that like I am? I mean, I don't know any of this to be factual, but, you know, snipers have great big long scopes, and they scan crowds looking for problems, and they're all tuned into radios, and check the guy with the black bag over his left shoulder. He looks subversive to me. And it's not stuff that I know, it's the stuff that I don't know that bothers the hell out of me. It's the knowledge that at some point in time, as I walked father and son across that bridge, my son's arm around me and mine around his, what should have been a blissful moment, and as far as I'm concerned, is for him something joyful to remember. At some point in time, I may have had some snipers' crosshairs on my little son's forehead, or on mine. You know, just checking out the crowd. Just sort of keeping an eye on things. And I don't like it one damn bit. And it's not just about me or my son. It's about others as well. Mommies and daddies pushing babies in strollers getting scanned with the scope of a sniper's rifle. I resent it. Am I over the edge? I mean, do I just need to settle back and sit down and calm down and live merrily inside the terrorized nation and just be grateful that they're there? Now, if some yahoo... Okay, some of us are gun owners and think about things like this, so help me with this. If some yahoo... more than likely would, in this country, would more than likely be a right-wing gun fanatic than some Muslim extremist. But if some yahoo pulled out a gun and started going all, Virginia Tech on the bridge, how effective would a sniper at a quarter of a mile be at stopping that? Are the American people, in that circumstance, unable or unwilling to defend themselves? I mean, you had to go through a security gate and get your bags inspected and, you know, your toenails checked and... So we don't know how a gunman's going to get on the premises... But assuming he does, there's no one who would be willing to try to take him down. Have we lost that much of our American backbone? Have we lost that much of our will to live, of our freedom, of our independence, that we would hope that that a sniper at a quarter of a mile away would be able to pick the right guy and, you know, shoot past somebody's shoulder and around somebody's kid to get the sniper or to get the you know, the shooter, the likely right-wing gun idiot who had gone wild with a hand, with a firearm like that young cop up in Wisconsin a few weeks ago. Have we given up? Have we surrendered? Because you know what? All the security that I saw on Saturday didn't make me feel any more secure. It made me feel like it's over. We're done. We're licked. We're whipped. We've given up. Welcome to the national security state. Welcome to the federalized safety program. And I guess I'm just, I don't know. I guess I'm just a crank. Just a curmudgeon. You tell me. You tell me. You know how to tell me. You know what the phone number is, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to save us a nickel, you can call us on your own dime or on your own unlimited dialing plan, long-distance plan, whatever, at 304-658-5453. But I'd like to know how you feel about living in a security state like this. You have a greater chance of being struck by lightning than killed by a Muslim terrorist. Oh, by the way, did you know Osama released another tape today? Oh, dude, is this the one where he plays Dark Star? No, no, not like that. We cannot confirm that the voice belongs to bin Laden, but it sounds like him.
What?
I advise myself and the Islamic nation not to follow individuals and countries. Everything should be seen in the light of Islam.
Lord.
Of course, last month he delivered a speech, a 23-minute audio message called Come to Jihad, a speech to the people of Pakistan. This was aimed at the people of Iraq and called on them to come together. Beware of your enemies, especially those who infiltrate your ranks. Oh, that's good. Everybody's a spy. So, you know, he's putting, Osama's putting out tapes. Of course we need the FBI police on the New River Gorge Bridge. Jiminy Christmas. Give me a break. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. How are you, dear?
Oh, hanging in there.
How's Donald?
He's over here right next to me on the other computer.
Attaboy, Donald. Welcome home, buddy.
Listening to you.
Good deal.
About your question, are you just a curmudgeon? If you're a curmudgeon, then I'm downright pissy.
Well,
I don't like it any better than you do.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some big festival out there in the greater Portland area, and it'll be swarming with the Oregon National Guard and every last little bit of law enforcement that you have out there, and you'll probably get to, I'd never seen these guys before. Blue bloused out trousers over tucked into black combat boots, blue blouses, and embroidered patches that say FBI police.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I should have been paying a little bit more attention to those right-wing emails I was getting. Oh, we've got a federal police force. I'll be damned. We do.
I kind of wonder if they weren't contractors.
No, I didn't see anybody with that big, stupid bear claw on there, but they're next, I'm sure.
Yeah. The other thing I called in about was, you were asking about, should, you know, is just what we have we given up? You know? I keep thinking of that saying attributed to Franklin.
Oh, a republic if you can keep it?
Security.
Yeah, those who would sacrifice...
Is there neither?
Yeah, it's true. Those who sacrifice, who would sacrifice liberty for security will have and deserve neither.
Yeah.
I've got pictures. I don't know. Maybe I'll shoot you, send you a photograph, Susan, and you can put it up and, you know, put it up on the main website and folks can see what the event looked like.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, there was a crowd. Let's make no mistake. And you know, you really, really did need some good traffic control.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there were, you know, cars, and I happen to know the super double secret probation place to park. But it's still, you know, 4 miles in and 4 miles back. But
yeah.
But you avoid all the nastiness of the traffic. And so, I mean, guys in green state police suits sitting there, you know, directing traffic. No, you can't turn. Go this way, idiot. You know, those guys I want.
Mm-hmm.
But snipers, Susan? Snipers?
Yeah, that's a bit nit. No, I don't like that.
Attack helicopters?
To me, all that says is you just wait, it's your turn next.
We killed 49 people in Sodder City over the last day or so, trying to catch one guy and missed.
Yeah.
I mean, pardon me, but I think we're dealing with some fairly basic issues of competence.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, the sheriff's deputy did... See, it's a four-lane bridge, okay? Let me see if I can paint the mental picture here. It's a four-lane bridge. It's an interstate bridge.
Yeah.
With a divider in the middle, concrete divider. They shut down the... Let's see, north, south. They shut down the eastern half of the bridge, the two lanes that are northbound.
Mm-hmm.
The southbound lanes remain wide open, and law enforcement zips up and down it, up and down it, up and down, howling along in four-wheelers bought at taxpayer expense that say, Homeland Security Response Team written on them.
Yeah.
I don't know what helicopter fuel is going for these days, but that guy was just hovering, you know, he'd go out and zip all around, yeah, just, you know, flyboying around, having mm-hmm. fun, and then he'd come and, you know, about 200 feet over the top of the bridge, sit there and just hover.
Well, I don't know what fuel is running these days, but I do know what it costs to get a light, just to crank up the engine on a lifelight helicopter.
How much is that?
Several thousand dollars just to turn it on.
Yeah.
We're not counting about any, you know, counting any little ancillary goodies like health care while you're in the process of dying on the inside of the chopper.
Well, see, I don't know. I've been thinking of, I was disturbed by this, Susan. I was truly, truly disturbed.
Yeah, it's scary because, I don't know, maybe this would be something Rick would be able to answer. But to me, it's like, on 9/11, this entire country, with very few exceptions, went into shock. And
understandably so. Let's make that clear. Understandably.
The Bush administration has gone to great lengths to make sure that almost everybody stayed there. And so we have the equivalent of an entire country having a panic attack.
I know. That's what it is.
And you're right. We're more likely to get hit by lightning.
Or a car wreck.
Yeah,
or
your car wreck. Hey,
or you know, some creepy bug that gets loose from the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of those are terrorism. Those are just the day-to-day risks of being alive in the 21st century.
You could go across the street and get hit, run down by a deer truck.
I mean, there are days in the winter when the storms are howling through here, Susan, that driving across that bridge is a more terrifying experience than anything that could have possibly happened yesterday. You know, when the winds are about 60, 70 miles an hour, and if you've got, you know, the little family minivan or something, it'll blow that slab-sided cussed thing, you know, halfway into the next lane with a semi barreling down on you. That's scary.
Oh, yeah. I know. Portland has its bridges, and it gets windy, and then we have little goodies called silver claws, where you get a half inch of ice all over everything thrown into the mix.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Let you know you're alive. But this whole country, it seems like they've gone into a... Well, if it was a computer, I would say it would be in the process of... Peter can confirm this. It's an acute state of bubble.
Well,
technical jargon there.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, I see this kind of stuff, and I don't know how the American people or how people in any given circumstance or event would deal with it.
You either stay in your induced shock, in which case you're constantly fearful of, the terrorists, or you wake up and you look around and say, Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on here? And that's when you start getting mad.
Well, when I realized that, you know, no concrete evidence or anything, but when I realized that, I'd probably had a scope set of crosshairs on me at some point, you know, because there I am with a black bag, yeah, my camera bag. But you know, that's suspicious.
Oh yeah.
So.
And seeing as how it's West Virginia, you probably had some of these guys think, this guy's probably a liberal.
Well, no, I mean we're not quite. And there's lots of liberals here, Susan. it was funny.
And
when
how many of them are in the police departments?
Oh, no, that would be none. Well, no, that's not true. I've got a very good friend who's in the state police, and you could almost call him liberals on some days.
Cool.
He has a very low threshold of tolerance for idiots and jackasses, however.
Well, in that case, he should be a Democrat.
Well, he might be. I don't think there's... I don't think there's any, if he were allowed to run again, I don't think there's any real risk of him voting for George Bush.
No. But it's, you know, it's just, I think this country has got to wake itself up. We're in this kind of...
I mean, I was actually told, move along, sir. I got to move along, sir, during the course of the...
Jeez. You did?
I got my camera. I got my video camera out, and I'm sitting there taking pictures. And move along, sir. We don't want anybody standing in one place for very long. It's a bridge.
Well, you know, maybe he expected you to jump or something. I don't know. The whole thing is, this whole country is, it's...
Scared half to death.
Yeah, it's like the country is sitting around in its own crappy shorts, too scared to get up and change them. Pardon the language.
Well, no, that's about the size of it.
You know, and it's almost psychotic.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I shudder to think the statisticians are going to be having fun 20, 30 years down the line because they're going to find this huge spike in heart attacks. And they're going to be able to trace it to the stress from this constant fear.
Well, what I want to know, though, is who they're scared of. You got to get a good idea of the complete security picture for Bridge Day. They have people under the bridge, around the bridge, on the bridge for days before this festival comes off, okay, to make sure that you know, George Bush can't put on his little black coat with his little black hat and bring his little black bombs and blow the bridge up. So that aspect I understand. Security is best that is seen least.
Yeah.
But then the day of, what are they hoping to, you know, once you let the 100,000 people out onto the bridge.
Yeah.
At that point in time, you're sort of at the mercy of people's good manners.
Exactly.
Because no sniper could take down a loony person. And I don't think, well, you know, I think about poor Carol Gottbaum out in Arizona. Lost it because she missed her flight and got executed for it.
Yeah.
You know, the death penalty was applied for not having, you know, complete control of one's emotional responses. So there's that. How are snipers or a helicopter gunship or the FBI police going to change any of that? It is all appearances.
All reinforcement of the fear.
Well, I've got two emails here. Both from our good friend Cindy, not too awfully far from you, out in the shadow of Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
And she said she's quit going to public events because she resents what she calls the pigs in the crowd.
Yeah.
She said I used to go to rock and roll concerts till the police presence ran me off. I never saw them at the Philharmonic, and I went there too. I was sober at both. She says, I think the cops are using this for overtime to pad their paychecks, and they're the only frightened ones. They're not there to protect you at all, she says. They're there to intimidate you. Welcome to the police state of America.
Exactly.
And she follows up.
That's what they're there for.
And says there's a clause in our Constitution under the War Powers part where it describes what is required before the executive can go to war. One of the elements clearly spelled out is that the people must be afraid. That's why they're drumming up the phony fear, she says. The counteraction to this is to keep telling them we're not afraid. If we weren't afraid, he wouldn't have the war powers. Well, you know what? I'm not afraid.
No.
Now I do. I admit, Susan, I get, and you probably know exactly the feeling I'm talking about. Down in the pit of your stomach, runs down the back of your thighs, when you get over there and you contemplate that, ooh, and it just happened again, those 876 feet of air between the top of that bridge and the water. And, you know, when I let the boy get over to look, he's 11 years old, he's responsible, he's smart, but you better...
He's a kid.
Bet your last dollar I had him by the back of his pants and the belt and the pants, and I think I had the boxer shorts, too.
Yeah.
And next to me, there's this parent who's got two precious little girls who look like maybe they're, you know, 3 and 5 or 5 and 6 or 4 and 6 or something like that. And they're scrambling around up the rail looking over that bridge, and I'm halfway to reaching over and grabbing them by the back.
Yeah.
Get down from there. You crazy? Now, that I'm scared of. Now, that may be an irrational fear. You know, maybe me and horn psychologist Rick Goodner need to sit down and have a nice long chat about that.
No, that's a sensible fear of a parent.
But, no, I mean, I'm looking around. I saw lots of people with the various and sundry college sweatshirts on. I saw a lot of people wearing black leather chaps with the butts cut out because they'd ridden in on their motorcycles. I saw a lot of that, but, you know, I didn't see any turbans.
No.
I didn't see anybody wearing, you know, long dresses or whatever like they do in the sands. I didn't see anybody swirling a black mustache or of swarthy mien looking like they hate America.
No snidely whiplash twins.
No tall top hats, no billowing black capes, no one screaming, help me, he's got me, save me Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything but folks out to have a good time in the bright sunshine on one of the, what will probably be one of the last beautiful days of the year.
Yeah. And the only people who were inspiring fear were the guys who were supposedly there to protect you horse pucky. They were there to scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, who couldn't do, and that's my point, who couldn't do a darn thing if something bad happened.
Exactly.
I mean, if the structural integrity of the bridge gave, you know, the sniper's got the bridge designer over there with a gun to his head. Oh, you go if the bridge gives, buddy. No.
I guess
I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, and I should probably stop.
No, because it's a snapshot of what's going on in the rest of the country 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Fear. Be afraid. Be very afraid. They're coming to get you.
9/11.
Yes, 9/11. 9/11.
9/11, citizen.
And every time they start with that, you know what I wanted to, I have an overwhelming urge to do? Rig up a outdoor PA system and then start blasting that old 60s song, "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
Yeah, I know. Susan, thank you, dear. I've enjoyed the conversation. Glad to know Donald's home.
Hi.
Donald, welcome back. Give him hell, buddy. We're thinking about you.
You give my love to the family.
I sure will. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, let's see. I think this is going to be a busy signal. Yep, I can. See, I don't even have to play it for you. I can just see the little blinking light and don't have to embarrass myself. So, you know, that's where we begin this evening. It is by no means where we're going to stay or where we're going to stop. But it is, in fact, where we begin. What else? How about... Okay, this might be a little tough. How about the big Bob Dylan sellout? I got that coming. And there's some questions of why won't some certain people sign on to a certain thingamajig in the Senate, you know? Got that on the way, too. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Mm-hmm. From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back. About 17 minutes before the hour, and we will go straight to the phones. I think, unless I miss my guess, we've got our good friend Kate on the line. Hey, Kate, is that you?
That would be me, yeah. Well, I wanted to, thanks for the picture of the bridge. I wondered what it looked like up there. I'd never walk 4 miles to look down 800 feet into the water. That would be really dumb on my part.
I've gotten my exercise for the year, so I'm good.
The year, that's stretching it just a little bit. You're trying to get off on doing something that you should be doing all along, so never mind. Anyway, I couldn't pass this up, the picture of the snipers up on the hill and the blouse blue pants the FBI is like the freaking Blackwater imitators and the snipers up on the hill. I've said before, this whole culture is suffering from testosterone poison, and they have to do something with the boys that they get all pumped up about the war and about the terrorism, and they have to do something with those boys who are all pumped up, and they teach them to be snipers, and they put them in blue pants, and they get them, you know, I mean, it just follows what's going on. And when we're so focused on security and fear and, oh, God, the terrorists are coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're here, we're just being kept, I mean, people's attention is focused away from what's really going on around the planet.
Well, are you terrified? I mean, you travel all over the country, Kate. Are you just shaking in your boots?
Shoot, no, that would take a whole bunch of stuff. No, I'm not. I, as a matter of fact, I think this whole thing's just so funny. And, you know, like, what's really important, the people who are being, I've been traveling a bit the last, 72 hours or something, spent a lot of time on Sirius and listening, and then on American Trucker Network at night, and stuff that's going on around the country, we just don't even pay any attention. We don't know. We just listen to one little corner of news. We watch one Fox network. Somebody interviewed, what's that comedian guy's name? Oh, God. I was going to...
There's a lot of them. You've got to narrow it down a little bit, Kate.
That's running for president.
Oh, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I think Tim Russert or somebody interviewed him on...
Yeah, on Meet the Press Sunday.
Yeah, interviewing a phony character about a phony presidential race. I mean, what in the world is going on?
Well, you know, Tim needs to think that he's like, you know, a hep cat. You know, neato. He's the bee's knees. And by interviewing somebody who's popular with the youngsters, that makes him feel that way.
Oh, well, I don't even know who either one of them are, but I just heard the remark made about interviewing on Sunday morning a fictional character about a fictional race. I just thought, oh, yeah, well, I'm, you know, whatever. But what the connecting the dots, I happen to be listening to the Republican governor's acceptance speech for the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, Bobby Jindal, 34 years old. Proudly presented to the world, by the way, Kate, as Louisiana's first non-white governor since Reconstruction.
What color is he?
He's of Indian subcontinental descent.
Well, whoopee. I mean, he's a friggin' Republican.
Well, yeah, precisely. You know, as the... Yeah.
A lady from...
He's slime.
Mobile. Huh?
He's slime.
Pardon me?
He's slime.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the man, but he's got to be something that I wouldn't... Well, anyway, I talked to a woman last night. She said she was just... Her eyes are just big. She said, you know, if I told my husband last week that if Louisiana goes Republican, the whole Gulf Coast is going to vote Republican. And when I see Haley Barbour big signs for re-election, I just want to go rip them up and throw them in the back of my truck and drive away. But it's just I was just amazed who voted for this man? Who voted the Republican ticket? Oh my God. The Northerners, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. And then the people who weren't in New Orleans, the displaced people, they didn't get to vote because their votes don't count anyway because they're the wrong color. Anyway, and gas has gone up about 10 cents around that neighborhood, and the crunch is awful. One of the things I wanted that really ties this together is how the economy has gotten so bad that when I was coming across out of Texas or going into out of Colorado into New Mexico, I met on some little two-lane road up in northern New Mexico. I don't even know where I was at. I mean, I do, but it's not important. Actually, it is. I met a car going I was eastbound. The car was westbound. It was a 90-something white Cadillac, driven by a Caucasian male, and I couldn't see how many other people were in the car, if there were any, and the car was completely covered with household goods, stuffed to the windows. The windows were open. The trunk was open. Something was tied on the trunk. Something was tied on the top. We were moving about 50 miles an hour in passing, and I couldn't tell, but the first thing that struck me was tears and reminded me of the Okies moving westward, and I thought, where is this man going with his 1990 Cadillac covered with personal possessions? Where is he going? God, it was so scary. And I
where is
thought,
he going to get relief? Yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and why is he taking all that stuff? You know, I mean, when he gets there, my God, why'd we bring this? You know, I mean, are we going to replace this at Goodwill for $5? It terrified me. It made me feel really sad. If I'm afraid of anything, it's for the people who don't get it. We were having some chat the other day, and I think it was Nanette and I were chatting about when people get the foreclosures, when people lose their houses, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? The foreclosure rate in Southern California is like up. One financial friend of mine said, no, it's 600%. It's not 64%. I said, well, she said, no, you have to average, blah, blah. But that, it's still, it's horrendous. It's over the top. And what does it matter now? Because they're going to burn anyway, you know? And so where people don't know, I mean, getting rid of your stuff is kind of important. If you're not, if you're hanging on to stuff, you're married to the ground that you're standing on, and if it burns up around you, or Blackwater comes in and takes the ground, or the Corps of Engineers is taking the ground between Waveland and I-10 in Mississippi, when you lose your ground, the people can't rebuild because the Corps is going to buy up the property, and they have no place to go.
And it gets worse than that. I've got a story for a little bit later in the show dealing with the Gulf Coast, particularly Mississippi, and the rebuilding efforts. And it's not going to get any better. Okay. And frankly, the hogs have got their front feet in the trough, Kate.
Yeah. And it just I don't know. I'm not afraid because I don't have anything to get. I don't have anything to lose. I've got a paid for truck that. If I lost it, oh well, I guess I just walk, not very far, but I can, you know, I just don't have stuff, and I just have a certain sense of freedom about that, you know, the feeling of freedom. But when people are just in a panic about, you know, what scares me is with a guy going westbound out of New Mexico into Colorado or Arizona or California or Nevada, what's he going to do? I mean, you know, what's he going to do with all of his stuff? And how's he going to pay for the insurance on his 90s Cadillac? God, it was scary. But anyway, I just wanted to check in because I just couldn't pass up the snipers on the hill. That's we're just being kept, our attention's being diverted from something else really big that's going on. And I've been listening to BBC and Radio Australia, Radio China, Radio Korea, you know, all up and down the dial in Sirius, and the planet's just rocking. It's cooking and the economies are falling apart. And we did get a new, I'm going to email my friend in Poland, we did get a new president or prime minister, whoever one of the twins was. They finally got rid of that little pig after 2 years, so I'm sure that the big news, my friend is going to be really happy. So I'll check in with everybody about that later and see what's going on in Poland. But I'm
well,
sure
yeah, and this guy, the guy in Poland is very much not aligned with the Bush faction.
Mm-hmm.
So the planet's rocking, Kate. It's like a big old pressure cooker full of brown beans that the heat's been left too high on.
Ooh, I've blown up more than one pot of beans on the ceiling.
Then you know what's coming, don't you? Beans on the ceiling.
And the spade never, ever freaking went away.
Nope.
It haunted me from the time I was about 9 years old until I ran away from home at 18. God, that spade was still on the ceiling.
Yeah, after a while I gave up because I gave up trying to use a pressure cooker. I love them, but Agnes is scared to death of them, so I just gave up.
Yeah, they're pretty scary things, but that's kind of how the planet's going, and I'll be driving up the road and I hear something on the radio or I see some little tableau off to the side and I think, well, don't worry about that much longer, because I don't think we're much longer for this world. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's out there on the edge, like the curtain's blowing in the breeze, and it's just barely out of the peripheral vision, and the breeze is getting stiffer and stiffer, and nobody's even looking.
Now, what did Frank Zappa say about one of these days they'll just take down the scenery, pull back the curtains, and you'll see the brick wall?
Yeah, that's it. And what I do with brick walls is start chipping at the bottom and make a little hole and crawl on through it. So,
Kate, you take care, dear. We're on top of the news, but thanks so much for checking in.
I'm out of here. Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for taking my call.
Get out of here. Bye.
Bye. Oh, God. Okay, so we got some news coming up. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Do you feel what Kate feels? Is there a vibration that's running through the core of the Earth all around the crust? That's I think you're supposed to feel it. You're supposed to feel something like that, because if you don't, well, you're supposed to. You're supposed to feel that, and you're supposed to think that Iran is making that happen. Israeli prime minister is running around Europe trying to talk Europe into backing a war on Iran. you know, explaining that those crazy Persians can't be trusted with a nuclear weapon, but Israel can be trusted with somewhere between 200 and 400 of them. Nobody ever says that Israel is destabilizing the region with their nuclear weapons. Funny. That wouldn't be any racism or anything, would it? You know, anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, no, not us. No, never. Couldn't possibly be. We wouldn't do anything like that. We're, why, there's no, dadgummit, there's no racism. There's no racism in us, is there? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hey, call in. You know the number. 304-658-5453. News is next.
It is
also killed in weekend attacks. Iraq is protesting an unsuccessful U.S. attempt to capture an Iranian militant in Sadr City yesterday. The U.S. military says 49 were killed. Baghdad says 13 of those were civilians. 69 were wounded in all. Today in Baghdad, bombs targeting Shiites killed at least 7 and wounded at least 24. Meantime, Iraq's Interior Ministry has released figures indicating that violence in the country has dropped by 70% since the end of June, when U.S. forces completed their troop surge. The Democratic chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee accuses Blackwater USA of tax evasion and of defrauding the federal government of millions of dollars by calling its security guards independent contractors, plus thus avoiding payroll tax. The family of a fallen Navy SEAL was presented with the first Medal of Honor awarded for combat in Afghanistan. Navy Lieutenant Michael Murphy was killed in 2005. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is now in Paris on the first leg of a European tour. Olmert next travels to London. And a landmark NASA survey of 24,000 U.S. pilots is wiped from all computer records because air safety problems exceeded federal expectations. The study was funded with an $8.5 million federal grant. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just after this.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
University researchers today announced studies show cancer patients who maintain an upbeat, optimistic outlook are no more likely to survive their disease than those depressed at their diagnosis. The Space Shuttle Discovery may not lift off for the International Space Station tomorrow because of expected cloudy weather, now just a 40% chance the shuttle will blast off. College tuition and fees went up again this year, the average increase at 6.6%. Financial aid did not rise as much, which could force students into more borrowing than ever before. Drug maker Merck posting a 62% surge in quarterly profit, beating Wall Street estimates. Halliburton posting a 19% surge, the company one of the largest private no-bid contractors in Iraq. Quarterly earnings for Halliburton posted at $3.93 billion. Silicon Valley flash memory maker SanDisk today launches an online video service and USB flash drive device designed to transfer computer TV programs and videos to TVs. Apple Inc.'s fourth quarter earnings reflecting a 67% increase due mostly to strong sales of Mac computers and iPods. Lightsweet crude at $87.56 a barrel, gold at $760 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 5 points. That'd make that 45 points at 13,566. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
You most assuredly are. I'm Bob. It's Monday. Darn fine Monday as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know. I'm going to get to the phone. If you're waiting on hold right now, just bear with me for a minute. A couple of things to mention before we move back into the conversation. First of all, Peter Godbold, the most fabulous conversation host on this network, will be a rerun this evening. He was constrained by virtue of work obligations this evening and doesn't like to just jump in behind the microphone and mail one in. God bless him. So proud of him. You know, you really should try to, well, you know, a lot of work goes into this. So Peter's a rerun. Joe Vecchio, however, and the your late night cup of Joe is not a rerun. He is live and full of vim and vinegar, even though I don't know what vim is. So he'll be coming along your way along about 11 p.m. Eastern time. I hope you can join us, mainly Joe. I'll be behind the board, of course. My quiet time. Bob, it's time for your quiet time. So join us at 11 p.m. for the Cup of Joe radio show. Let's see. There was something else. Oh, yeah. I suppose you heard on the news just now and have probably seen or heard elsewhere about this, what else can you call it, failed raid on Sadr City. This is going to go over well with the Shia, in which some 49 people were slaughtered, but not the guy we were after, apparently. If you would like to go over to Democratic Underground, I have just kicked the post there, so you guys can see the picture. It's a whole bunch of symbols, you know, like swearing, you know, ampersand, percentage, at symbol, number symbol, exclamation point, star, percentage, exclamation, exclamation. Baby Ali slaughtered with other militants in Iraq. Go look at the picture if you've got the stomach for it. This would be, I'm guessing maybe a 3-year-old getting ready to have his body washed for burial, according to Muslim custom. There's a fellow in the background, leaned over, his elbow on the wall, his forehead resting on the top of his forearm, his hand extending before his face. I'm guessing that's a father. I'm guessing that's a brother. I'm guessing that's an uncle. Someone for whom little militant Ali was special. Baby Ali slaughtered with other militants in Iraq in general discussion. Should be fairly close to the top right now. Let me see. No, it's moved a good bit down the page, but yeah, Baby Ali slaughtered with other militants in Iraq. Go have a look at the face
of bringing freedom to the Iraqi people if you've got the stomach for it. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who have I got?
It's Malin.
Hey, Malin, how are you, my friend?
I had a buzz there. I don't know what that was.
Well, that's the thing telling you that you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I was out to the middle of Pennsylvania, to a funeral. And I mentioned it on my notes here to you this evening, it seems, you know, you can tell that everybody is stressed going to work, and I don't travel in interstate every morning, but it would seem like the worst time of day for the police to set up a roadblock for this exit and a two-lane highway on Route 80, which is, you know, Route 80 is one of the main highways in the United States,
right.
Interstate. And because of these two state police, there were probably, I would say, thousands of people late for work. And they were doing car checks, and I don't know what they do because we weren't stopped per se, but I've been through it before. But is this getting to be a regular thing on the interstates, or is it my imagination? Because it seems like there's more of them than there used to be since the Homeland Security thing.
Malin, I can't say for certain because I live in a fairly rural area, but if the stuff I read is true, yeah, it is getting to be more of a common occurrence, especially in more densely populated areas. This is about keeping the American people terrified, keeping the American people in a state of quiescent, nervous composure, if you will, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
We want people terrified, but we want it to be a sort of a general sense of terror, not anything specific, just generally scared witless.
Well, you know, just that them being there will scare you. I mean, even if there's no one attacking, it just the police alone is enough to keep you sort of nervous. And then, you know, the big black hats, you know, the whole thing, the glasses, it's sort of intimidating, you know, but I guess they're supposed to be intimidating. But it just didn't seem right that that two people alone could control such large amounts of traffic and people's lives that way. There should be something wrong about it. I hold that at rush hour when people are trying to get to, you know, doctor's visits and all sorts of, you know, schools and all sorts of things. It's just absurd. You know, I could see in the middle of the day maybe, you know, but not at 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just, I was appalled by it. And then when I came home, I noticed that New Jersey now has Dodge Chargers for their the state police have Dodge Chargers now.
Oh, isn't that charming? Yeah, with the great big Hemi head engines, and I'm sure they're V8s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have one of those, and it's about the worst thing I've ever had for gas. And I didn't know it was when I bought it, but I put a whole tank and a half in it to go to Pennsylvania and come back today. And it really wasn't that, but it was only 400 miles, I think, something like that. But it seems rather extravagant because those cars are expensive. And New Jersey's always complaining about they don't have enough money, like everybody else, you know. So the next time the governor says he doesn't have enough money, I should write to him and tell him that, ask him what he thinks of that. It just put me in a bad mood coming home thinking about, and I had no idea you were going to be talking about the police on the bridge and all the snipers and stuff. It just happened to coincide with that subject, and I just thought I'd bring it up, you know.
Well, I appreciate it because I think, I don't think that what I experienced was a localized thing, Malin. I think, you know, we are becoming a militarized police state. You know, one of the things that just scares me to no end, I was talking with a friend the other day, and we started talking about what happens when Blackwater comes home. What does happen, Malin, when you take 80,000 armed mercenaries who have answered to no law, and you bring them back to the United States, and you just say, okay, well, you know, back to your normal lives.
You know, I thought about that the other night while I was trying to go to sleep. I thought, well, what if for some reason the Democrats managed to get some of this war home, the people home, which I don't think will happen, but, you know, if there's a possibility, where the hell are all these people going to work, and what are they going to do if they do get it? I mean, would they have to get a job similar to what they're doing now? Because I'm sure that the jobs that they had maybe don't even exist anymore, you know, for a large part.
Well, that's why Blackwater has been put, there was a press release out, oh, I guess a week and a half ago. Everything's a week and a half ago to me, Malin. I have no sense of time anymore. I live in this little darkened room and never leave.
Yeah.
But about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, there was a press release out talking about all the different ways that Blackwater is pitching its services to corporations, to municipalities, to states, as means of keeping their armed mercenaries employed once they do come home. And that just scares the bejabbers out of me. I mean, I'm not a...
They've got to be doing something somehow related to what they were doing in Iraq. I mean...
Yeah, these guys are gun thugs. I mean, they're not. It's not like the National Guard comes home and they can go back to, cleaning up after tornadoes or floods or natural disasters. Blackwater are gun thugs. They have no purpose except their own lawless ends. They got to have.
I started talking about Blackwater when Katrina, the hoopla down with all the hurricane, and some I mentioned it to a couple people. Oh, I've never heard of that. That's not important. That's just some little security firm. And I really thought I had heard it was going to be serious business, because you don't just take people's, it's illegal to take people's guns away like that. And also today I got my courage to resist from the soldiers that are, from Watata, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I suppose I'm on a list somewhere in Washington. So, anyway.
I have a feeling a lot of us are. That's why I don't even bother to try to fly anymore, Malin.
Did you think that you as a talk show host might be more likely even probably?
Oh, look, I know what I say on the air every night, and I know that can't go over well with the authorities. Mm-hmm. So, when you consider the people who are on the list that we know are on the list,
well, when you hear they were investigating the Quakers. Now, if they're going to investigate a bunch of old ladies sitting around a table that are against the war down in was it Florida or whatever during the I don't know how long.
Oh yeah, and the Thomas Merton Center in Pittsburgh,
yeah,
who is
and they had a ream of paper this thick on those little old ladies about who they were and what they did and everything, you know. Probably what car they drove and everything else.
Yeah. Well, consider the Homeland Security sent a video squad to videotape, a demonstration by PETA in Atlanta, Georgia, outside a Heavenly Hams store. Okay?
Yeah. I heard of that.
That's Homeland
Security. I saw it on the Internet.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess because they were protesting Heavenly Ham, they thought maybe one of Osama's representatives would be in there, too, going, oh, yes, no ham.
They have a vivid imagination, don't they?
Well, they do. And
they tie things together.
It's a nightmare. I think it's a nightmarish imagination, Malin. They are scared to death.
Well, Republicans, I know from my parents, have always been able to take things and twist them around to whatever I say. They can take them and twist them to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. And so I have just finally given up with them, and they're a lost cause. But, I mean, that's the idea. I mean, they would formulate something, some reason to investigate a group for any reason, just to investigate.
Well, please let me give you a little bit of affirmation, Malin. No, you know what you're talking about, and you're well-informed. See, that's one of the things that I've come to think of us, this happy band, this little family that we've put together with the Horn, as, I don't know, in a way, I guess we're in kind of a bubble or it's a reverse bubble. Everybody else is in the bubble and we're out, because we are paying attention. We do see what's going on. We see and we see the inexorable slide toward totalitarianism that we're involved in, and we are very much bothered by that, because we have a reverence for the Constitution. Ain't nothing wrong with you, my friend, but there's a lot wrong with America.
It's what is bothering all of us is the fact that if you bring up a subject like politics with your family or close friends or in a restaurant or somewhere, you have to be so careful that you because they can't, somehow in their tiny little heads, they cannot imagine anything that you say. It can't be. You've got to be lying, you know? And you, after a while you say, I'm not crazy, they're crazy.
And how,
they're uninformed.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. And it's the uninformedness that will be their downfall. Because there's a time coming, Malin, when people are going to look up and it's like something out of the Bible where it says, you know, they will cry, Lord, Lord, and no one will listen. They're going, well, you know, why the hell am I losing my house? Why the hell did you vote for George Bush in 2000? You know, let's start there, okay? Oh, you know, why is gasoline? Because they go to the pump, and, oh, it's 3.25 today. Oh, look, it's 3.45 tomorrow. Oh, look, it's 3.70. And,
yeah, well, I try to listen to a little bit of public. Do you listen to public broadcasting a little bit, don't you, when they come on in the morning?
In the
British, whatever it is. Well, you know, they started out with a story like this, and it's like a play with words. Gas prices are down across the board in wherever it is, New York or whatever. They were down this week 0.75 cents. Now, I don't think that's news.
Oh, gee whiz! Don't spend it all in one place.
But I mean, if it went up 20 cents, they probably wouldn't even mention it. I just think that it's all controlled. I think it's so controlled by these big corporations, and we just don't realize it. Even they are, which is very scary. Because I think the BBC and the American NYC, what is it called? They're all being swung over by the right, towards the right, because they're tied so closely to their people that donate, you know, and that's what they have to do. And they were like the last ones that I listened to till I started listening to people like you, and I take everything they say with a grain of salt now. I didn't used to, but now I do.
Well, you can't help but after the lights go on and the curtain goes up, you can't help but pay attention a little bit differently. I think Mike something or another is one of these third or fourth tier right wing talkers, was on the air calling for Keith Olbermann to be sent to a detention center because he's a traitor to America. And the irony of this kind of stuff is just completely lost on them. You know, calling for people to be caged up for engaging in free speech.
I try not to listen to any of Rush, any of those people, because if I were to start listening to them, I would get, my blood pressure would go up, and I would just be so upset that I wouldn't even be able to watch you.
Oh, it's not good for you. As our good friend Mike Malloy puts it, you know, listening to Rush will make your brains leak out your ears.
What was it, Stephanie Miller? She said, "Well, she says if you watch with an hour of Rush, she says if you have constipation, you have problems, you have diarrhea for a week or something."
Yeah.
So if you're on a show, if you're a guest on Chris Matthews or something like that, she made you know how she's making rude remarks, but they're funny. I think she's great.
Oh, she's
but
hilarious.
But anyway. I won't say anymore. I'm just
okay. Well, Malin, thank you for bringing up that issue, and thank you for sort of affirming the fact that I'm not completely insane for being a little bit offended, at least, at the idea of our terrorized nation, because you know it's Osama's not terrorizing us anymore. It's our own government.
See, we all have to keep reinstating our sanity together, and make sure that we're all on the same page. Still, we don't want to start letting people drop off. We want to hang in there, you know?
Precisely, and that's what makes this little community so very, very special, and I'm so very glad that you participate in it, Malin.
Yeah, I'll let you go now.
Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend Malin, calling from New Jersey, having his own little police state moment earlier today. Okay, so I mentioned... let's get this over with. Let's just check the headlines real quick. Wildfire situation continues to deteriorate. California is burning. Southern California is burning. And then I'm looking at the CNN main webpage just to give you an idea of what passes for headlines. Latest news, okay? This is latest news. Woman convicted of cutting fetus from womb. Read, no rubber stamp on Bush's war request. SEAL killed in battle awarded highest honor. Parents find industrial chemicals in boy's blood. Okay, I think we're going to have to look at that one. NASA mum on plane data that would scare you. Here's a good one. Professor teaches how to carry concealed guns. Well, thanks, Doc. Ticker, Clinton booster rips Giuliani's three wives. Rips. With a rusty knife, do you suppose? Wow. Most of 5,000 fighting cocks euthanized. New Mexico kids more likely to have cleft palates. Worms gobble up toxic waste. Son dials 911 from 911 from car. Mom arrested. Former FBI spy catcher eyes poker players. Who's your community crusader? Okay, so we've got the news out of the way, right? A vast majority of America is seeing stuff like this, as opposed to anything smacking of reality. I mean, the one hard news story in that list, read no rubber stamp on Bush's war request. It's not a war request. It's a money request. He's not requesting the Senate to declare war. He wouldn't dare do that. You wouldn't get it. No, Reid, no rubber stamp on Bush's war request. Well, remember, this is Harry Reid we're talking about, so. The guy with the dry powder. The dry powder that we keep thinking is gunpowder that turns out it's talcum. So, okay, so there's your headlines. And you're up to date to the extent that you can be up to date by with a list from CNN. I don't know what to say about the wildfires. Wildfires. I don't know what to say about the fires burning up Southern California. 10,000 people have been evacuated. It's a horror. It's a misery. It's a beautiful little spot on the planet when it's behaving itself. But it's also a tinderbox. God, the photograph I'm looking at must have been shot from 5-10 miles back, and it's huge. And guess what? What shall we name this wildfire? I say we name it Katrina. Because you know what? It's going to be Katrina all over again. Oh, and by the way, did you notice that Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue, right-wing freak, is asking for federal disaster relief aid because Georgia is in the throes of the worst drought in its recorded history? Now, I'm not being a jerk or anything, but, you know, if he wants a valid federal response, he is, as the saying goes down south, barking up the wrong tree. Because, after all, we've starved the government via George Bush's tax cuts for the rich so that, you know, we don't have a rainy day fund. We don't have anything put aside to deal with this kind of stuff. We'll just have to do a little more phony baloney money alongside maybe George's war request. Ooh, that makes me mad. No rubber stamp on Bush's war request. How about no rubber stamp on Bush's phony baloney more money for more blood request? How about maybe a story about the death of little Ali, whose photograph you can see, as I mentioned, at the top of the program, general discussion at DU. I kicked it up there again, main page and general discussion. Well, it keeps sinking like a rock. People are busy there today, I guess. But, yeah, baby Ali slaughtered with other militants in Iraq. Militant three-year-olds. We've gotten to the point where we're out there looking for militant three-year-olds. So there's your news. Meanwhile, since we are talking natural disaster, interesting article over at the LA Times today. It starts off being a what would appear to be a human interest story about a lady by the name of Lavinia Thomas, wheelchair-bound, who lives in Gulfport, Mississippi. 2 years after Hurricane Katrina, there are still water stains on her ceiling. Her floors are bare. She's had to rip up all of her carpet. She can't get rid of the mold in her home. She's 54 years old, lives on a fixed income. And she can't get state assistance. Wait for it, children. Wait for it. Brothers and sisters, because the damage was caused by wind rather than flooding. Jesus. You mean somewhere out there are windless hurricanes? And of course, if you listen to this network and other liberal outlets like Nova M, you know what ain't happening on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You know they're not getting well. You know they're not getting relief. You know they're not getting help. Well, it just got worse. The Mississippi Development Authority, under the leadership of Mississippi Governor and former Republican National Committee Chair Haley Baba, has announced plans to, and for those of you who really, really, really pour yourself and your energies and your being in spirits into the recovery efforts on the Gulf Coast, sit down for a minute, okay? Because and don't have anything throwable handy, because you're going to kick it, or you're going to kick something or throw it. The Mississippi Development Authority has announced plans to divert $600 million. That's a 600, three zeros, and three more zeros. And a dot. $600 million are going to be diverted from the Mississippi Development Authority from federal housing funds to restore and expand the port of Gulfport, Mississippi. Now, in Mississippi alone, we're not talking about Louisiana, just Mississippi alone, there are more than 15,000 families still living in FEMA trailers. Thousands more, like Ms. Thomas, trying to fix her house. And the Mississippi Development Authority wants to expand the port facilities at Gulfport. Pardon me, but doesn't that just smack a little bit of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? I mean, isn't that at this point in time lipstick on a pig? Riley Morse is a senior attorney for the Mississippi Center for Justice's Katrina Recovery Office, and he says it's a reverse Robin Hood logic. Take from the poor and give to the rich. Because, among other things, he said, port officials have enough insurance and FEMA funding to take care of port issues. Republican state officials, however, say that housing... Oh, Lordy, Jim Yancey. I can only imagine what he would do hearing this. Housing is no longer the region's most critical priority. These Republican state officials say that diverting funds to the port will reinvigorate the coastal economy. Holy mackerel. Now, they want to put $600 million into the port. Bear in mind, it was valued at $127 million. So roughly five times its value, they're going to pour five times its value into the port. Katrina caused it $50 million in damage. Now, the insurance money has coughed up $108 million. The port will get another $54 million from FEMA to cover $50 million in damage, and godless, soulless, motherless SOB Republicans want to pump $600 million that was supposedly there to relieve people's suffering in their homes to expand the port. I hope to heck you're not shocked. I hope you aren't surprised. I hope you aren't taken aback. This is what Republicans do. Sunshine, there is contractor money to be had by the fistfuls, by the shrink-wrapped $100 at a time bundles in farming out contracts for expanding the port. There is plenty of room for the piratization of that $600 million. Not nearly at the level... No. Because the money, the piratization opportunities aren't there if you're just given a roof's worth of shingle bundles to a lady who needs to have it stop raining inside her house. How are Republicans supposed to be rich and getting richer if we're just doing the business of the people? I'm still wondering how Georgia's going to find a way, Georgia's Republicans will find a way to get rich off this drought. I don't know how you contract drought relief. Maybe Blackwater will come to Georgia with, their National Security Rain Dance Squad. That's not a dig at Native Americans, that's a dig at Blackwater conning people. So, nah, you're not surprised, neither am I. The ripoff is going to continue in Mississippi. The ripoff is already continuing in Louisiana because Bobby Jindal could not have gotten his soulless, godless Republican ass elected there had it not been for the fact that the electorate in Louisiana has largely been relocated. Voter turnout was low in Louisiana for this governor's election. Wonder why. Is this the part where I play the Barbara Bush, they're living on cots in the Astrodome and things are, and they want to stay here and things are working out very nicely for them? Cut. Is that where I... No, it's not. Mississippi Development Authority officials say that enough housing money will remain to give grants to an estimated 30,000 homeowners to restore or rebuild property. This represents fewer than a fifth of the estimated 169,000 Mississippi homes damaged or destroyed. A fifth. Donna Sanford is Director of Disaster Recovery for the Development Authority. She said, "Our funds do not allow us to provide assistance to all those 169,000 homes. We have to make difficult decisions." Yeah, I'll bet. Difficult decisions like who gets the money instead. Difficult decisions, Miss Sanford, about where you're going to eat out tonight, honey. Difficult decisions about whether to go for the Bombay or the Tanqueray. Right, Ms. Sanford? Difficult decisions on whether you want the pâté de foie gras under tooled leather or the blackened peasant under glass. Difficult decisions. I'm being told that I actually blew it. I missed it. expand the port, I'm told. Expand. That's so Haley Barber's pals at Walmart can bring in more Chinese good to the southeast. And what do you want to bet that Kellogg Burn and Loot, or some subsidiary of Halliburton, gets to do the port expansion? Oh, you guys don't miss a trick, do you? Even when I do, you don't. So there you have it. Jerry Maddox, 56 years old, says he's from Gulfport in their dilapidated business district, says it's time to invest in encouraging businesses back to the city. Well, I somehow don't think throwing money at Halliburton to expand the ports are going to do that. Then there's William Janis, 65 years old, living in a FEMA trailer park. The article says, clutching a letter notifying him that the park would close by month's end. Quote, I got nowhere to go. I don't give a damn about the port. The housing recovery is not over. Californians, I don't know if this is what you can expect in attempting to recover from the fire. There's a lot more white folks, frankly, that are affected by this fire, so chances are the recovery will be significantly better. But don't expect the Bush administration to get it right. And Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, his hands are tied, and I'm sorry, he can't break the ropes. He's going to be dependent on federal disaster relief funds. Hey, maybe the Mississippi Development Authority can give you $600 million and you can expand your port, too. While people live in the shattered, burned-out hulks of their homes. God, this is annoying. God, this is irritating. God, this is infuriating. I don't know about the rest of you, but I look at people on the Gulf Coast and I see my fellow Americans. I see people trying to carry the most precious things, family photographs, stuff that's been in the family for generations, trying to get it into a car to evacuate an entire region that right now is on fire. And the kinds of choices that are enforced upon them, and they're my fellow Americans, and my heart breaks and bleeds. And I see a Bush administration that only sees it as an opportunity to make a buck, and that really, really, really slides right under my fingernails. Because that's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be all in this together. We the people. At least that's the way... That's the way I was raised. That's what they taught me in the basement of the Southern Baptist Church. Those marvelous, wonderful, little old blue-haired ladies. That's what they taught me in the school system there in Alabama as I grew up. It's what they taught me at home, my mom and dad. We're all in this together. We're all Americans. My mother, having lived through the home front side of the Second World War, would tell me stories and show me, put aside ration books and those phony red pennies that came out during the Second World War to save on copper. Ain't got a red cent. And I heard that one day, "What, Mom, what's that mean?" And she shows me a red cent. And she told me how people work together. And she told me how people saw themselves as in a common fight against a common foe. And she said that times were hard, but they were made less so by knowing that everyone was in it together. That day is past. That day is done. A lot of America looks at burning homes in California and washed out homes on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and dried out homes in Georgia and say, well, ain't happened to me yet. At least my ox ain't getting gored. Our buddy David in Tennessee writes, we here in Tennessee better keep an eye on that little crook of the Tennessee River that nicks the northwest corner of Georgia. Better be looking out for a big-ass pipe stuck in our river. He also remarks, old man Mulholland stole water from the rest of the West for his beloved L.A. Some repig may try and repeat the process in Georgia. Well, that's already happening, David, because there's a little bit of bad blood flowing. Ain't no water flowing, but some bad blood flowing over the fact that Sonny Perdue has his britches in a bunch over the fact that, well, Florida does too. Republican Governor Charlie Crist. Sonny Perdue says that it's taking all our water to keep water in the Apalachicola River. That's where all our Lake Sydney Lanier water went, keeping them Floridians wet. Now, I ain't kidding. I wish I was. Because, you see, Sonny Perdue, he can say drought, but he can't talk about why drought. I see John Fox, our resident environmentalist, like we're, the rest of us aren't, but no, this is his special métier, if you will, is in the chat room. John, you live in Australia. Y'all know a little bit about drought. Where's the drought come from? Is it because the river's taking all the water away, or is it because it ain't raining? And if it ain't raining, why ain't it raining? Well, you know, these things happen. You know, I keep thinking back to that one classic clip we've got from John's program, where he says, no planet, no economy. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, you got Mark Mahoney in, where the heck am I? Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Am I live here, or am I on hold?
No, you are so live.
Oh, son of a gun. I just had something come up today that I thought I'd share with you, and we'll just take a minute or two.
No trouble. Take all the time you need.
Well, I don't have a lot of time, so we'll take as much time as it takes here. And it was a situation where I was at a country buffet of all places. You're familiar with those?
Oh yes.
And I had to go there because of some older relatives who frequent that place, and I was sitting next to an elderly gentleman there, and we were talking, and somehow he brought up the subject of health insurance for children, and he said sort of out of the clear blue sky that we did not really need health insurance for the children. That was a silly idea. And guess what his reason was?
I don't know if I've got enough drugs to make me understand this, but go ahead.
He said, well, kids don't get sick.
Oh, and kids don't get in car wrecks.
Yeah, they don't get sick. And I look, there was nothing I could say at that point. I figured that his universe of kids is the 10 that he raised, and that was about it. And I don't. Maybe none of his kids got sick, and it's kind of like you said, as far as whose ox getting gored. But his experience was that his kids didn't get sick, and so this idea of health insurance for children is just not necessary.
So we and can, I, yeah. If you don't look at the problem, you don't have a problem.
That's right. And So again, there was, I just thought to myself, there's nothing that I'm going to be able to say at this point that's going to make any difference. And I just kind of shook my head and wonder. But
now those people are lost. Okay, I mean, then there's no getting them back.
That's right.
They've wandered off into the desert. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to share that the kids don't get sick, so there's really no reason for that crazy health insurance idea.
Yeah, and kids don't get shot with handguns, and kids don't get in car wrecks, and kids don't get beat up on the playground, and kids don't fall off swing sets and break arms, and Mark, you know what kids are? They're weebles. They wobble, but they don't fall down. I pity you in a way because, and I don't mean that condescendingly, but, you know, something like that comes out of somebody's mouth around me, and I feel like a cartoon character who has to run off into a closet and swear for a little while before I can come back and get into polite society again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just, again, I wasn't so mad as just bewildered that he could actually believe that way, and again he thought a certain distance, about as far as his 10 kids, and that's all the further his thinking went. But that was far enough to toss out an opinion on that issue.
It's just astonishing. It's not much different from the Republicans, though. Rumor has it, Mark, that they're going to introduce a tax credit for people so's they can buy insurance for their youngins. They're going to get a $1,400 tax credit. That's a little over $100 and a quarter a month, or a little under $110 a month, maybe $105 a month, on a bill that's going to cost the average person, assuming that they have health care available to them, a grand a month. They're going to get a $1,400 tax credit on their tax year.
I'm not sure how that'll play out. There are some people that, even at low incomes, that pay quite a bit in taxes. So that might end up, but I suppose you actually have to use the money for health care to get the credit.
Right, and if you do the math, you know, twelve times 1,200, assume a $1,200 a month health care debt, that's $14,400 a month. Turning it into a $13,000 debt with a $1,400 tax credit, you know, that doesn't do me much good.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you do. You got to lay the money out on the front end. It's like all these flat taxers. Well, you know, you'll get a rebate at the end of the month. You know,
yeah.
You know, my power company doesn't accept rebate notes. So.
Well, the only answer is hopefully we'll have a president someday that we don't have to override vetoes. And can make at least more progress on some of these things than we're doing now. So,
all right, Mark. Good hearing from you. Don't be such a stranger. All right.
All right. Very good.
You take care.
Talk to you again.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
My God, somebody looks you in the eye and says, "Kids don't get sick." No, I would, right on the spot. I'd turn into Yosemite Sam and just, "Black stag and blue nose, not pull frazzleck and rat neck spurkin' zek breeze and..." Don't! But you guys are much better than me. You just look and you shake your head. It's kind of like what happens to me when I drive by somebody on the highway in a 1978 Chevy with the Bush Cheney sticker on the back. I got to look at him like, like creatures in the zoo. What the hell is wrong with you? Because I'm just mean. Hey, who have I got?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, hanging in there.
Good.
Did you hear on the news recently about a laptop being lost that had the records of people who haul hazardous materials?
No. Must have missed that.
I heard
one.
That on the news recently. I just heard it one time. I just hope it's not true.
Probably is. I take it you've got your hazmat certification?
Yeah, you remember me telling you about getting my hazmat certification. I had to give them all kinds of information, and now they lose my information from the laptop.
Well,
along with a lot of other people.
I'll try to look around and see if I can find find a little bit about that. Geez, that's that's kind of terrifying, you know. And I guess you'll know if you start getting calls from your credit card company saying, you know, there's somebody over here buying a trampoline. Says they're you. Yeah. That, but you know, let's see, truckers' records, veterans' records. Who hasn't been hacked?
I know. I just think if this was Clinton's.
Oh golly, yeah! It'd be awful. No, they'd add it to the. They'd add it. They'd re-impeach him.
Yeah, he wouldn't heard it just one time on the news.
Of course, speaking of impeachment, Alan, that's something I saw the other night. Sheila Jackson Lee was on Bill Maher's show, and she was asked about impeachment, and she says, "Well, we just take a we have a more hopeful approach, because if you impeach George Bush, then you got Dick Cheney, and you know what kind of an improvement is that? So we're just going to wait the election out, and we're going to try to bring real change to America." And I'm thinking, why can't we have a twofer?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Get them both.
Yeah, they should be in jail. One time I was talking to a truck driver, and just out of the blue, he said, Bill Clinton should have been impeached. And I looked at him, I said, why? And he said, because of Whitewater. And then I started talking to him. He didn't know anything about Whitewater. So no. That's an example of what would happen if just to get the issue out there.
Yeah, that's all. That's, you know, because that's all he's heard. You know, Clinton needs to be impeached because of Whitewater, and he heard it every time, every radio station, every way across the dial. That's all he heard. And so that's all he had to regurgitate.
And that wasn't an issue. Now we got real issues and a real president who's a crook, and we can't do anything about it.
Well, we can't. Congress could, but Congress won't.
Yeah, I'm so angry at these Democrats who are in the office not doing anything. And that's why we put them in there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, Alan.
Well, I'm about to drive around the Washington Beltway, so you got me all stirred up, so I appreciate it.
Well, both hands on the wheel, and yeah, that thing terrifies me. I'd rather take a whipping than drive the Beltway. You drive careful,
right,
Alan. Good hearing from you. Bye
right,
now.
Thanks. Bye.
Our good friend Alan over the road on the Beltway. I wouldn't wish that. You know, there's people out there that drive that every day, and I mean, you know, I feel like I got to have a little black whip, you know, and you roll the window down when you get onto the Beltway, and you just reach out and start slapping the car with the whip. Oh, he's had to go to the whip. He's onto the Beltway. Crazy people on that highway. Crazy people on a lot of highways in America, though. I think I remarked the other night about getting onto, what is it, I-75, headed for Atlanta. 8 lanes from North Carolina on. And every rusted out, beat up, broken down 1976 Chevy with a Bush Cheney sticker on it, doing 110 and having their Dale Earnhardt moment. And I had a good car at the time. And I was flying. They were making me nervous. NASCAR, you know, bad influence on America. I'll be in trouble with Clyde at WD-40 over that one. But Beltway, pass, thanks. So we didn't get around to the Bob Dylan story this hour. We will next hour. I'll start that out first thing. I'm just glad to be here tonight. We had the main computer meltdown on us yesterday, so I spent the better part of the day and the better part of today reloading stuff onto a stopgap computer. I wonder how the other half lives. You know, the other half that just goes and buys a new computer. So, you know, this is an appropriate place, I suppose, for me to mention to you that we are still about, $600 away from our October goal. It's the 22nd. We've got 9 days left in October, so it looks like we might make that goal. It would be nice if we could take a bite out of September's deficit, too, because this is a stopgap computer, and we are going to have to replace it. If you can, you know, hit the PayPal button. I'd appreciate it, because you know you're the only thing that stands between us and us not being here. So, sorry. I just figured you needed to know. I am glad that we're getting close to the goal, though. I'm terribly glad. It inspires me and makes me think that, you know, there's hope for this to go on and on and on and on. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Talk to me.
Don't talk to strangers, 'cause they're only there to do you harm. Don't write in starlight, 'cause the words may come out real. Don't hide in the ways, you may find the key.
Barbara County to the Mexican border. Some of them were started by downed power lines. At least one is suspected to be arson. They're all being stoked by dry brush and strong Santa Ana winds, from beach houses on fire at the Pacific's edge in Malibu to the evacuation of the San Diego Zoo. Residents throughout seven counties are now under a state of emergency declared by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Al Jazeera Television aired an audio tape of Osama bin Laden on Monday calling on Iraqi insurgents to unite. The tape apparently was in response to recent moves by Sunni Arab tribes fighting al-Qaeda. They've joined the U.S.-led coalition. It was bin Laden's third public statement this year. The prior two were just last month. Iraq's senior interior minister has released figures that indicate violence in the country has dropped 70% since the end of June, when U.S. forces were at the height of the troop surge. As many as 100,000 Turkish troops have been deployed along Iraq's northern border. Ankara is under increasing pressure after an attack Sunday near Turkey's southern border. 12 Turkish troops and 34 Kurdish rebels were killed in the battle. President Bush presented the family of a Navy SEAL with the first Medal of Honor presented for combat in Afghanistan. The Navy lieutenant paid the ultimate price in 2005. The Associated Press reports NASA has ordered the results of a landmark survey of 24,000 U.S. commercial and private pilots purged from all computer records. There are reports of air safety problems exceeding federal expectations. 70 airmen will be punished by the U.S. Air Force for the August incident in which six nuclear-tipped missiles were accidentally flown halfway across the country on a B-52 bomber. Lapses in the implementation of long-established standard procedure have been blamed. An officer and five enlisted sailors aboard a U.S. Navy nuclear submarine have received non-judicial punishment for lax safety procedures and forged logs to cover their tracks. Shockwaves are being felt throughout the Navy's tight-knit nuclear community. A record-setting drought's driven Georgia's governor to ask the White House to declare the northern region of his state a disaster area. Governor Sonny Perdue has already threatened to file suit against the Army Corps of Engineers for continuing to drain reservoirs in his parched state. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Weather allowing, the Space Shuttle Discovery is going to blast off at the International Space Station tomorrow. The shuttle is carrying equipment to permit Japanese and European labs to connect with the main station. More than 1,800 international experts met this weekend in New Orleans to discuss obesity around the world. More than 65% of Americans are thought to be overweight, and a billion globally. The FDA is insisting on more visible warning labels on prescription sexual impotence drugs. The concern is sudden hearing loss, which has been reported with the use of drugs such as Viagra. University researchers today announced studies show cancer patients who maintain an upbeat, optimistic outlook are no more likely to survive their disease than those depressed over their diagnosis. Apple reports a 67% rise in sales owed to Macs and iPods. GM sold a few more vehicles than Toyota this quarter. Toyota, however, is still neck and neck with GM, which announced a sales total so far this year of 7.6 million cars and trucks. And AT&T is making more than 5 million songs from Napster available for wireless download next month. On Wall Street today, the Dow gained 45 points on strong tech earnings at 13,566, and the NASDAQ rose 29 to close at 2753. The S&P 500 was up 6 to close at 1506. Oil lost $1.04 and is trading at $87.56 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Where? Here. Did you hear that little blurb in the news? The one about the FDA considering stronger label warnings on drugs like Viagra because they can cause sudden hearing loss. Sure puts that whole Rush Limbaugh deafness thing into perspective, doesn't it? And all we thought all along, we thought it was brought on by syphilis. Because he was busted with an illicit prescription for Viagra on his little guys-only trip to the Dominican Republic some while back, wasn't he? Who knew? Oxycontin junkie and a Viagra junkie. Had to fight off the urge to use some more salacious sobriquet instead of Viagra junkie. Bonehead! Oh! Sorry. Sometimes I just get out. Now, this Bob Dylan thing. Have you heard about this? The latest ad from, wait for it, hippies, Cadillac? Bob Dylan is featured in a TV ad for the 2008, you know, not just any Cadillac, not some really neat spiffo sedan or great big land yacht, you know, four-door car. No, no, sunshine, no. Dylan is featured in an ad for the 2008 Escalade. It begins airing today. Shows him behind the wheel of a Cadillac Escalade driving across a remote desert listening to the XM satellite radio network. And he has one line in the commercial. He says, "What's life without taking a few detours?" Never should have even tried that. He has previously done ads for Victoria's Secret and iPod. How about that? I mean, this isn't quite like him getting up on stage with his electric guitar and playing It's All Over Baby Blue and walking off the stage or anything, but come on. I mean, Bob, if you needed the money, you could have asked. There's old hippies all over the country would have said, "Hey, Bob, you know, how much you need, buddy? Need a new liver?
Another one? Anything. What? We'll help. You're beautiful. You're an artist. But no, Cadillac came knocking. And this is not me gooning it. Well, kind of. I love American cars. I wish American car makers had the common sense to feel the pulse of the American driver. You know, just as gasoline goes through the roof, Chrysler reintroduces, what? The Charger, with a Hemi head 8-cylinder engine, like Malin mentioned a little bit ago. Bob Dylan driving alone in a great big honking SUV that gets about 8 gallons to the mile. What's life without a few detours? See, I had to do it again. What a sellout. Going electric was not a sellout. Going SUV is. I mean, couldn't they find a song to go with it? Come on, Dylan fans, how about a song to go with this playing in the background? Well, gall dang, Bob. Although I love Dylan's work, I will have to take a pass on buying my next Escalade. I just want Cadillac to know why I won't be buying one. Do let them know. I mean, I sort of... It is nowhere near in the same league, but I gave up on Bob Seger when he let Like a Rock be co-opted. You know? I was always kind of proud of... Because musicians' music is powerful magic. I was proud of Bruce Springsteen when he refused to let Ronald Reagan have Born in the USA. Of course, those Republicans back then were such geeks, they didn't understand that Born in the USA had a protest flavor about it. Didn't bother to listen to the whole song, just the chorus. Born in the U.S. No, just that. But this raises an interesting issue. And I want you to hear this stuff, okay? And I want to give credit where credit is due. On this program, you've heard a wonderful musician by the name of John Koontz. And I had an opportunity to get to sit down and throw back a couple of ice-cold fermented malt beverages with John Koontz. And we were sitting around listening to some fine, fine music. And it came around to John talking about... Well, no, actually, the conversation started because as I had been driving up to where I wound up, I had heard He's So Fine playing on the radio. And even I was just, you know, taken aback by, yeah, that really... George Harrison really did lift My Sweet Lord straight off of that. And the conversation flowed from there, and he said, well, did you know Bob Dylan has done something similar? No, John, I didn't. Oh, yeah. And John is a great authority and devotee on just about anything that Muddy Waters ever put onto some recording medium. He says, oh, yeah, the latest Dylan album, he said there's a track on there he stole wholesale from Muddy Waters. I said, really? Yeah. And he told me what the track was. It's a Muddy Waters tune called Trouble No More. And, of course, you know, we're in a world where a woman in God knows where Minnesota can get a $400,000 judgment hung on her for maybe not ever having shared on a peer-to-peer network five or six songs. Okay? Meanwhile, on his latest album, and you can check the liner notes, others have, Bob Dylan has a song called Someday Baby. And I'm going to play them for you here. This is something I've been meaning to do, and when I saw this, you know, I wait for things, and I don't know why I'm waiting. And then I see a story about Bob Dylan hawking 8 gallons per mile Cadillac Escalades, and I realize, well, you know, that's what, okay, tuned in, thanks. I want you to hear these two songs. Because on this on Bob Dylan's latest album, there's no gee thanks to Muddy Waters. There's no credit to Muddy Waters. There's no based on a song by Muddy Waters. It's just Someday Baby, another instant classic from the mind and the pen of Bob Dylan. Okay? So you've already gotten the headlines. We can do this. Don't worry. Because this actually matters. Which compromises art more? Me making a mixtape and handing it off to my neighbor? Or an icon like Bob Dylan outright stealing a song from a greater icon like Muddy Waters? Now, this is Muddy Waters' Trouble No More. Okay? Just listen. That is some infectious stuff. As far as I'm concerned, if I had it to do with, I'd just play Muddy for the rest of the night, and I'd be happy and probably in a lot better attitude than I'm going to be here in a few minutes. So that was Trouble No More by Muddy Waters, a copyrighted song. You know, legit. Okay? Now, and before somebody can bring it up, let's remember, blues is a borrowed art form. Because everybody borrows from everybody else, and there's only so much you can do with the 12-bar blues. Or 16. I can't remember if it's 12 inches on center or 16 inches on center for studs or 12 bars or 16 bars for blues. I'm sorry, I'm not a musicologist, but you get the idea. It's an organic art form. Okay, I get all that. I get all that. Now,
Someday Baby from brand newly minted Cadillac spokes whore Bob Dylan. Now, you just heard Trouble No More. Listen to this.
I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care where you go or how long you stay. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna work for me anymore. Well, you take my money and you turn me out. You fill me up with nothing but self-doubt. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. When I was young, driving was my cradle. They drive me so hard, almost to the grave. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore.
You heard it.
Can you say ripoff? Can you say plagiarism? Can you say fundamentally dishonest? Can you say, well, yeah, that's the kind of guy that would, you know, rip off Muddy Waters would certainly be the kind of guy I would expect to move on over and, you know, for a few dollars more, as the saying goes, hustle Cadillac Escalades. Jeez. That... fiddlesticks. What, so is John Kuntz right? Is that a deadlift right off of Muddy's Trouble No More? And, you know, the funny thing is you can tell when he runs out of Muddy's lyrics and he starts having to write his own because his own suck. The things I've overlooked, baby, you've got me hooked. Nah. And this is in no wise meant to denigrate any of the great stuff that he's done, but, you know, it's just kind of sad when you see an icon like Dylan ripping off a greater icon like Muddy Waters. All right. By request. Sort of to clean the palate. We'll do the Muddy again. Just so you can have it fresh in your head. Man, that's more honest, isn't it?
I don't care how long you're gone. I don't care how long you stay. But good, kind treatment. Go bring you home someday. But someday, baby, you ain't no trouble for me anymore. You just keep on betting that the dice won't pay.
Somehow I feel a little bit better having washed the previous one down, back, away. What do you think? And let's see, we've got Robert calling from New Orleans. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yes, and this is the first time I've called you there.
Yes, it is.
On the computer once in a while, and I never thought to call in.
Awfully glad to hear from you.
Between the Dylan and what have you there, I'm a little bit ashamed of him because I'm a big Dylan fan anyhow.
I was too.
And the thing is there, if this isn't plagiarism, I don't know what is. Now, some people will say imitation is the best form of flattery there, but, you know, I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, you know what?
Everybody should have proprietary rights there to their material there. And, you know, I do a bit of writing on the side, and if somebody stole that, I'd be really, I'd be out of my mind.
Well, I just wonder what's next, Robert. Is he going? Is Dylan's next album going to have a rewrite of a Professor Long haircut?
Well, that's appropriate for this part of the country, though, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, because you're calling from New Orleans, right?
He said that he did not give any acknowledgments or even recognize Muddy Waters there at all.
No, sir.
Well, that's unfortunate there. You know, like, if I make a reference when I'm writing there, I give acknowledgments there to the person that wrote it down first.
Well, that's the right way to go about it. Or if he wanted to call it an homage, there's only one reason to not credit somebody else's work on a mass released album, Robert, and that's to keep from having to pay.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit disgusted with Bob Dylan there. We all share the same name, yours, mine. Everybody calls me Bob as well, by the way, Mr. Kincaid. But, you know, I couldn't believe he would stoop that low and then have to go and get commercial on gas-guzzling SUVs there. That, you know, this man there, in his time there, would have been pretty much preaching against it. I just don't understand him. Does he really need the money?
I don't know at this point. I honestly don't. I can't fathom the Cadillac Escalade. I can't fathom this. If he'd said, you know, based on a tune by Muddy Waters or any, but this
yeah,
is
give the man some credit.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and among other things, one of the things that's most disturbing out of this, Robert, is that white musicians have been ripping off the black musical community for about 150 years now. And so here in the 21st century, I guess this is just an admission that we're going to have more of the same.
Don't doubt it for one minute there. You know, if Donovan had done that to Dylan there, do you think Dylan would have been really pissed off because they were contemporaries at the time?
Yeah. And this isn't, you know, this isn't, let's be clear, this isn't a cover of the tune. The Muddy Waters song is called Trouble No More.
Yeah.
And Dylan titles this Someday Baby.
Yes, but whenever I looked at, I listened to the tempo, I was listening on the radio, and I listened to that there, and apart from a few paraphrasings and stuff like that, there wasn't much difference on it.
No, and I mean, the chorus itself, the hook, you know, Someday Baby, you ain't going to trouble me no more, and it's Someday Baby, you ain't going to worry me no more. I'm sorry, you can't change one word and make it not stealing.
I was so disturbed there. As I said there, I've been an avid Dylan fan there for many, many years there. I'm 63 years old there, and of course I'm in that era. But, you know, with Donovan and all of the rest of the group there, and, you know, I used to love what he did. But why does he have to stoop so low there to steal somebody else's proprietary rights?
Well, among other things, stealing from the dead.
Well, that's true, too. Well, I'm sure you're going to have other listeners that will come in with comments there, so I'll just turn the computer speaker back on again.
Well, it thrilled me to pieces to hear from you, and wish you the best, and I hope we'll hear from you again sometime, Robert.
Well, whenever you have time available.
We've always got time. It's Conversation Radio.
Okay, Bob.
All right, take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, and let's keep the phones going and see who we've got here.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke. How's it going?
Oh, just getting by. It's actually an average Monday. Just waiting and praying Tuesday shows up. That's what I tell most people when they say, "How you doing on Tuesday?" I say, "Well, I made it past Monday."
Yeah, no. Hey,
always a good sign.
Every day above the dirt, you know. Good one.
Well, the old saying used to be, "You open your eyes, take a deep breath. Everything after that's bonus time."
Precisely.
But on to the day. Went out to this evening, and I'll tell you, picked up Fair Game by Valerie Plame Wilson.
Oh, did you really? Have you started
yep.
on it?
No, I just rushed through it, and I saw this, and I saw it earlier where she said this on a blog. They left the redactions in, just so everybody could see how much the CIA wouldn't let them do.
Oh, wow, so you can see the black stripes.
Yeah, well, they're sort of grayish, but yeah, you know what I mean. But yeah, there are some places where there's a couple of pages at a time, it's just stripes. Stripes and stripes.
Yeah.
One of my love is on one of the chapters. They've got the title covered up, so you can't even tell what the title of it is.
Oh, my God. That's good.
I guess it's more like, we aren't going to give you any clue.
Yeah, never mind the fact that, you know, the number was already done on her. We're going to, yeah.
Okay, one thing about that is, if anybody wants to read about it, I think this week she is blogging it at Huffington Post. I think she's supposedly blogging all week. I don't know if she will or not, but you know how that goes. Did you notice this weekend at the quote-unquote values seminar, whatever they want to call it?
Yeah.
Did you see all the numbers about how everybody did on it? That I think this is on the online poll. Did you see what Rudy's numbers were?
They were in the toilet, weren't they?
1.85%.
Well, hey, look, the values voters are taking their cues right from Dr. Dobson, and they seem to be marching right in line.
Well, hey, you know, the beautiful part about this is we can just sit there and tell them, you know, the term, let's see if I can say it right, I will screw it up, evangelicals, is, you know, if Rudy's your man, then you have to make your decision. Are you really an evangelical, or are you going to just want to be a winner?
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me you're an evangelical and say you support Rudy.
Well, I mean, look.
I mean, tell me which of Rudy's beliefs match up to you.
Yeah. And yet,
it's like we've always said, you know, I don't think you're ever going to find anybody that you match 100%. Okay, you know what I mean? You know, I voted for Democrats that I might even match 70%. No big deal. You know what I mean? Because as we've always said, you know, the worst Democrat's better than the best Republican, you know. So it's one of those things. It's like, say, I'm just waiting for our local independent, quote unquote, radio talk show host to start talking to Rudy, and I'm just going to call and ask him.
Well, I don't really want
to ask him. Okay, now you're saying these evangelicals have to say they're people of God and conviction, and you're saying they're going to sell out totally just to have a winner, right?
Well, it's interesting you bring up the you're not going to agree with every, you know, position.
Yeah. You're not going to find anybody you agree with 100% of the time.
Well, I got sent a poll today from WQAD. I don't know where they are.
Don't recognize that one.
But they got a big bridge in the background, so somewhere wet. But anyway, it's the WQAD candidate survey, and you answer 11 questions, and you rate them from not important to very important. And it tells you who you're most closely aligned with. And, you know, it was,
yeah.
Okay, this is a survey that was developed by Minnesota Public Radio.
Okay.
But the question, I wound up, you know, surprise, my guy was Dennis Kucinich, and I was a 65% match, only I disagreed with him on immigration.
Okay.
And I couldn't figure out how, because I don't disagree. Check this question out. You want to talk about a loaded question? Here's a loaded question. Immigration, what is your position on immigration in the United States? Build a fence along the border. I am opposed to granting legal status to illegal immigrants. Tighten security first, but I also believe we should provide a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants who are already here. I favor stiff fines for employers who hire illegal immigrants, a security fence along the border, and a denial of citizenship to children born here of parents who are in the U.S. illegally. I oppose any form of amnesty. I favor a guest worker program while tightening border security. Well, none of those are Dennis Kucinich's positions.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you want to have what each one of those little things are, is build a fence, click the ones you agree with, ones you know. That'd be fine, but it's sort of like, guys, we're giving you four choices, and unfortunately, the answer you want is E.
Yeah, no kidding. Because, you know, what wasn't there was eliminate NAFTA, CAFTA, SHAFTA, BAFTA, LAFTA, and DAFTA. And
Huey and Louie, too.
Yeah, exactly. Repeal right-to-work laws in all 50 states. Then your immigration problem will solve itself.
Well, you know what it is? It's one of those things where, you know, it's like, that's one of the reasons some people don't, you know, they won't let him on the air. They won't let certain other people on the air, because if you really let him get a whole lot of traction, you saw that the right wingers, every time they can, are talking down Ron Paul.
Oh, they're afraid to let him speak too, because they think, you know, not that they agree or anything, but they think their ideas will be popular. And the same thing with Kucinich. They won't let him speak because they know people will say, hey, that makes sense. You know, quit telling us things we don't want to hear. Tell us things we want to hear. You know, it's like when you give us three choices and our choice is number five, you know, how are we supposed to follow along?
Exactly.
Oh, one other quick thing. I got thinking about this, and it just hit me the other day. I saw somewhere, and I do not know when and where all this is. Now, from what I understand, is there is supposedly a good chance that Mr. Bernie Kerik is about to get indicted on a few things.
I've been seeing a little bit of that.
Now, I'm just wondering, now, Bernie gets indicted about now, say, 9 months, about time for a trial to begin. I wonder if Rudy's going to have to testify, being that he was Bernie's employer.
Oh, no, he'll testify as a character witness because he recommended Bernie for head of Homeland Security.
But won't that be fun, having a Bernie Kerik trial, and Rudy's going to have to show up and testify?
You know, the Republican field is I got to admit, I watch it like, you know, rubbernecking at a car wreck. Because I don't know which loon is going to wind up with the nomination. You know, the guy that combs his hair with corn oil and a fork, Mitt Romney, he's crazier than hell. He had to... he says a crazy thing every day. You know,
he went after the UN this weekend, I think, at the thing. Said, ain't making no sense at all. Man. You know, they're more trouble than they're worth.
Oh, he also said he was proud to have the endorsement of Bob Jones University, and that he shares a commonality of interest with a number of issues that are important to Bob Jones people.
Oh God!
Now, which ones would that be, Governor Undershorts? Would that be
pillowcase put over your head?
Yeah, would that be the don't let the dark-skinned people come to school at Bob Jones University commonality? Would that be the no holding hands on campus, no interracial dating part of Bob?
Yeah,
which one of those things do you share a commonality of interest with him on there, Governor the Dog on the Car?
Oh, God. You know, and it's one of those things. The thing that gets to me right now is, like, say, well, you know how it is down in my end of the world. You know how it is. Fred Thompson could go out on the lawn and shoot somebody, and they'd say somebody got in the way of a bullet today.
Well, I love one of the headlines I saw earlier today had something to do with Fred Thompson lashing back on the claims that he has no energy.
Well, let's put it this way. Fred's one of them type of people, I have a feeling they keep the paddles around every once in a while just to give him a jolt.
I know.
Either somebody's behind him with a taser every once in a while, give him a shot.
He's just not...
I mean, the man, you know...
Well, I saw a thing, you know...
He just looks tired every time you see him. The man looks like he's about 80.
Well, he's got prostate cancer right now, for God's sakes. You know, I don't understand Republican politicians. You know, everything gets out of the way for a personal grab for money. You know, what the hell?
You know, but you know, it's like we've talked. I think you and I've talked about it before. I've talked to my friend. I said, look, this is a job that you're trying out for. That if you're real lucky, you might come out of it looking 20 years older. If you're lucky. You know, Big Dog went through it the best of anybody I've seen. You know what I mean?
And I saw him the other night.
Like at 60, he looked like 120 when they come out.
Luke, he's still got the old magic, but I saw him a week ago last Saturday. He's got old man hands.
Oh, he does. But you know what I mean? That's a job that, you know, I wouldn't wish on anybody. Not if you actually are paying attention. Now W might get away with it because he slept through most of it.
Well, my dad used to always say that Republican presidents come out of office looking better than when they went in, and Democratic presidents come out looking like they've been through the ringer. And he always said that was because Democratic presidents actually tried to do a decent job.
Well, you know how it is. You know how it is with W. We've heard this from the Texas people. You know that he, of course, has that thrilling day where he usually, you know, spends a couple hours on the bicycle and plays video games. So, you know, I wish I could get a job.
Yeah, and he's
like
into
that.
Look, he's into the footy pajamas by 9:30 and out like a light. I mean, even as we speak, Luke, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, so to speak, is having his milk and cookies before bed. Of course, there's probably a little bit of, clonazepam or diazepam or something like that in the milk.
Or any said combination.
And the cookies probably have hash in them, but, you know, you can't have everything.
But you know, it's like we used to. I used to remember reading some of the stories, and they would say Clinton, you know, would be up till 1 a.m. working, and then get back up at 6 a.m. and start again.
Yeah, that kind of guy. Yeah,
I mean, that's one of them jobs. If you take it, well, of course, we have to understand. W, of course, has to take those month long vacations because you get so tired.
Oh yeah. There's another Bruce Springsteen lyric. I took month long vacations in the stratosphere, and man, it's really hard to get your breath. Yeah, month long. That's a Bush anthem.
Well, you know how that is. It's one of the things. It's like they were talking one day, and they put up the number about how many days he's been on vacation. And he's been on vacation more than he's worked. If you want to consider what he does work.
It is to scream. It is to scream.
Well, like we see the it's interesting sitting here now watching, seeing who the next one is to come out and say that, you know, Ron gets a weapon. You know, it's going to be World War III. It's like, gee, when do we attack Pakistan then?
I know. Who was it that said that today, Luke? You remind me. Next terrorist attack may come from Pakistan.
You know, I still to this day would pay good money to somebody at some event he's ever at if they would put on the Star Wars the processional thing when he comes out. I really would pay good money for that.
I know. Well, Luke,
maybe 2009 we could do that when they introduce him.
Tough weekend there for the Vols, but
we don't.
I know. I've been following a little bit. I know. There's a little bit of a stinkum going on the hill.
Only good part about this is the only thing that dulls that is the Spurrier now going to Vanderbilt.
Well, there you have it. You know, South Carolina stumbling, Kentucky had lost, and bang, you guys had a chance to jump up on the SEC East and laid an egg.
That happens.
I know.
Oh, well, we'll just follow along. You have a good evening, but I'll let you get somebody else on.
All right.
You got more people waiting.
Take care, Luke.
All right.
Bye now. Okay, let's see who we've got here. Yeah, we got a quitter is what we've got. Oh, well. So, you know, the whole Bob Dylan thing, it was pointed out in the chat room that the song Trouble No More was written for Muddy by M. Morganfield, and was also covered by the Allman Brothers, who credited Morganfield on the track. Well, there's a little difference with what's going on here. All right, downhill to the top of the hour and tonight's rerun of Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. Again, Peter was constrained by a long and miserable work day. You know, when you get up at 3 o'clock and you go in, and I mean in the morning, and you go in and you pull cord and cuss and discuss at computers. He helped me yesterday with walked me by the hand through what we had to do to get something up and running to be on the air tonight. And I don't know how he does it because, you know, I've got a screwdriver in the back of the machine and, you know, I'm swearing at the speed of light. I mean, they run together so fast that what's the line from A Christmas Story where the narrator of the kid says, my father's curse words are still circling the earth in an orbital band or something like that. Well, that was me. Mommy, why is Daddy talking funny again? Well, Mommy, Daddy's having computer problems, dear. Oh. So, you know, that's what goes on, and there's going to have to be a new computer built. And, you know, I just tell you guys these things because you're the guys that make this happen. So if you can go above and beyond and help us catch up on the $550 that we need to catch to meet the October bill and help us with the $1,000 deficit from September, we'll start on the beast computer that will hopefully enable us to go video sometime in the near future, is depending on how contributions go. There's a PayPal button on the website, headonradionetwork.com. And if you don't like to do PayPal and you prefer to do mail service, you can mail it to Head On, 1038 North Eisenhower, just like the President, Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, stands for Personal Mailbox, 318, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. And we do sincerely appreciate it. I'll be honest, it's easier to do the show when I'm not worrying. It just is. A last little giggle for you, though, before we round out the night, and God knows if, for instance, you're going to go somewhere else and listen to some other show, I imagine there will be horrors and outrage aplenty. God knows we've had some of that here tonight. $600 million cash diversion from homeowner relief in Mississippi to expand the port at Gulfport. Urf. So, yeah, outrage aplenty. But I ran across this, and it's from NewsHounds. Their motto at NewsHounds is, "We watch Fox, so you don't have to." Melanie blogged it there. And it has to do, of course, with Fox and their business editor, Neil Cavuto. Neil Cavuto is to Fox what Lou Dobbs is to CNN. And they were having a discussion today. Oy. Well, this is a little bit older. No, this goes back to the 17th. It wasn't today. They were having a discussion on October the 17th about the FISA bill. And there's a big font down underneath the picture, you know, big banner, big whatever. House bill would restrict government terror surveillance. And Neil Cavuto explained to the dropped-on-their-head Fox audience that the Congress is set to vote on a bill that would make it tougher for the government to eavesdrop on potential terrorists. The proposal could impact telecommunications companies in a big way. The president is already threatening a veto. My next guest says, yeah, you'd better veto it, that Democrats and civil libertarians are making it more dangerous for the rest of us. My next guest, he said. You know who the next guest was? The expert on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, and eavesdropping on American citizens? Why, Neil Cavuto's next guest back 5 days ago? It was Charlie Daniels. No, not Charles Daniels, international terrorism expert. Charlie Daniels. Devil went down to Georgia, Charlie Daniels. Right-wing fundamentalist convert freak, Charlie Daniels. The musician that right-wingers like to listen to who don't like to listen to Ted Nugent, Charlie Daniels. Daniel said he doesn't feel very represented. I mean, these guys, they sit down there and, you know, draw up things against talk show hosts. Is that all they got to do? And Cavuto asked him whether he was saying they're risking our security, and Mr. Daniels responded, I'm absolutely saying. Well, I understand, and it's a shame we have to go that far to take care of business. We either got to protect the country, or we're not going to have a country to protect. And if it means eavesdropping, we have to eavesdrop. If it means, you know, looking at people's email, we have to look at people's email. Wow. That's one of those from the you just can't make this up department. Charlie Daniels, national security consultant for Fox News. I know. Ah! Oh, I just got wised up. The liner notes, just to tie off all the loose ends, the liner note that says that the author of Muddy Waters Trouble No More, M. Morganfield, did you guys catch on to this in the chat room yet? McKinley Morganfield is the name that was given to Muddy Waters by his mama when he entered this world. So there's no way getting around Bob Dylan, Cadillac salesman, ripping off both McKinley Morganfield and the late, the great, the inestimable Muddy Waters here in terrified rip-off America. Reminds me of Andy Griffith looking at Barney. You just beat all. You know that? You just beat all. So that's where we are. That's where we end. Many thanks to all of you for joining us, either live or podcasted or archived or over on Usenet or on Receiva.com, Phonostar.com. Maybe you're listening on the live players at WD40.com, or you're listening on the live players on the pages of AfterDowningStreet.org. Maybe you're listening on iTunes Radio. However you listen, we value the time you spend with us, and I hope that you know that. Many thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Many thanks to an exhausted Peter Godbold, our IT consultant, who came through in a pinch again yesterday. We're here tonight because Peter Godbold was there with me on the phone yesterday, talking me off the ledge and making the magic boxes go again. We're also here every night because of the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you value what happens here, you value the hard, hard work of Ben Birch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. Iraq's vice president flew to Turkey today for emergency talks with authorities. Turkey has asked for permission to cross into northern Iraq to battle Kurdish separatists. However, the Turkish premier said that if his parliament approves cross-border raids, quick military action would not necessarily ensue. Word now is that Iraq fears a raid by Turkey could trigger intervention by other neighboring states. Pressure is ratcheting up against the Myanmar dictatorship. Yesterday, the EU adopted tough new sanctions against the military regime. Today, Japan cut off all aid. President Bush has threatened economic penalties if the junta doesn't ease off its violent crackdown on the country's pro-democracy movement. Chinese and international human rights groups say that Beijing has launched one of the broadest attacks in years on what the communist government calls potential troublemakers.
In Washington today, President Bush met privately with the Dalai Lama. Beijing is demanding the president cancel a public appearance with the Tibetan leader tomorrow when he receives the Congressional Medal of Honor. It would be the first time